We're joined now by TSA Acting Deputy Administrator Patty Cogswell. Patty, we've spent about 6 months talking to current and former TSA agents who are unhappy with their working conditions. Do you think that there are workplace problems at Orlando International Airport?
Since the administrator and I have joined TSA, we have focused on a couple different elements. One very strong, important piece from my perspective is committing to our workforce and demonstrating how much we are caring for our workforce. As a result, we've traveled around the country. We've heard from a lot of employees. We understand what they see in their jobs on a day-to-day basis and where we think and where they think we can do better. We have tried to take all of that on board and put in a number of changes and procedures to make sure that we are promptly responding to their concerns, but also just making TSA a better place to work.
Do you think that, are you doing any of those changes at Orlando, though? And do you think Orlando in particular has a problem?
We are making some changes in Orlando, and we have put a number of measures in place in recent months. I think any time that you hear a number of individuals concerned about what's happening in any specific location, you want to take that closer look. I think the most important thing I would want to say to any of the staff we have in Orlando is that not only do we care, not only have we already had people down to make sure that they had someone to talk to listen to what their concerns are, but that we'll be there for as long as they still want or need those attention and that services.
We've had interim
leadership in place already right now, and we're considering future changes.
Well, can you give us a couple examples, concrete examples of the changes at Orlando that have happened and maybe one or two that are planned that are coming?
So in particular, we've had a number of our different offices down. So we had a specific administrative inquiry go down, along with some of our specific resources who are trained with employee assistance post-traumatic events to make sure that employees had access to counseling services or other needs post the events that happened in Orlando. As we go forward, we have a new leadership team temporarily there in place while we assess the overall health and develop the future plans for the airport and its workforce.
Well, you've spent 20 years in a career that's focused on national security. Do you see a direct line between having a workforce that feels confident that they won't be retaliated against if they report misconduct and the safety for the flying public?
We absolutely believe those go hand in hand. This is a very hard job. As you pointed out, the number one thing that we need them to do every single day is to be incredibly proficient at finding important and critical security elements in their day-to-day work. This means they need to be able to be as best trained they can, as best supported by their management and leadership, as able to raise issues or concerns, to ask questions. In order to do that, we need to continue to equip our managers, our leaders, our staff on how to have those important conversations that in the middle of running between locations day to day, the middle of trying to get all the work done, and sometimes very stressful or environments as travelers proceed through the checkpoints, that they still can take that time out to turn to somebody and say, are you okay, if they see something that's not quite right.
Patty, this is Danielle, and I just had a quick follow-up question. We've heard from agents that Jerry Henderson might be back, as well as Steve Hansen. Can you tell us, is there any truth to that?
Neither one of those individuals is currently on site at the airport, no.
But will they be coming back in any sort of administrative leadership role in the next, let's say, 30 days or so?
They are not going to be coming back to Orlando Airport in the next 30 days, no.
Can you tell me about Keith Jeffries? Is there any opportunity for him to transfer from LAX to take back a leadership role at Orlando?
None of the decisions about the future locations, the future decisions around Orlando are completely finalized, and so I'd prefer not to announce them at this time.
Can you tell me a little bit, the Union for TSA Workers says an internal report cleared TSA of wrongdoing in the death of Rob Henry, and his parents also told us that the report really painted their son in a very negative light. So where are we with this investigation and this report?
The investigation has been completed. It is currently in our FOIA office for review prior to public release. We do intend to release it to the family first prior to public release. As you have noted, the report did find that he was not specifically targeted by managers. However, the report also highlighted where he had been having a number of issues. This is a place where we would like very much to make sure that going forward we want to well equip colleagues, managers, where they see someone who might be having difficulties, opportunities to provide additional help.
You know, from that report, the family still says they have basic questions about what happened that morning. Do you think TSA owes them any sort of explanation of what went on before his suicide?
TSA will continue to provide information to the family throughout this process. TSA has interviewed and discussed with the family numerous times to make sure that we understand all of the concerns and are able to address as best we can their concerns. I will say I can't imagine anything more devastating than the loss of a child, and absolutely breaks my heart for the family that they are going through this. I know they really want those answers. They want to understand what was going through his mind, and I absolutely feel for them during this horribly devastating time.
This is Abe Abarai. I wanted to follow up again. You mentioned that he was not targeted by management in that report. Can you elaborate a little bit on that and tell us, you know, what led you guys to that conclusion?
So as we go through any type of investigation, what we would normally do as a general matter of course is look to provide opportunity to directly interview anyone who made certain allegations, look for them to provide us additional points to interview follow-on individuals, and then assess to determine whether or not there's information that substantiates the claims that are being made or refutes claims that are being made. I'm not going to talk about specifics or details of the investigation at this time. That will be in the report when it's released. But in general, that is how we proceed through a process.
Deb Hanna, who is the union representative in Orlando, she basically, you know, said that this is TSA investigating TSA, and it's the fox watching over the chicken coop is sort of the way she described it. Do you think DHS and TSA need to bring in an outside investigator to look into this and maybe even other allegations so that there is that trust in the results?
It is pretty standard practice for agencies to have two options for investigations within these type of realms, right? So the first one is within the Office of Investigations, which reports directly to me as the Deputy Administrator of TSA. This is intentional to provide it to be outside the chain of the airports, outside the operational chain, and in a place where I can be looking at information that may not always be in the best light of an individual manager or an individual location. The second place is at DHS itself, where we have the Inspector General who might review. We are following standard practices and procedures for how you conduct these kind of investigations.
But, you know, still having it within Department of Homeland Security, you know, to Deb Hanna's point, is still an agency that might have a vested interest in TSA not looking like the bad guy for, you know, to be blunt, at the end of the investigation.
I think this is an issue that has been pretty widely understood in terms of pattern and practice, that is not how offices of investigations operate, that they are intentionally set up across the government to have that to be able to say what they need to. And you have seen over the years if there is issues in agencies where that comes into play and how that information comes out, that is not something that is tolerated.
So to be clear, as a follow-up, so was Rob Henry's investigation done under your auspices or under Department of Homeland Security that sort of was out of, you know, your scope?
It was done under TSA Office of Investigations.
I want to let you know, too, you know, the story aired and we got a call, you know, from an anonymous Orlando TSA agent who basically called and said, look, nothing has changed. You know, there's still issues with the way supervisors and managers treat their employees. What do you think it's going to take to change at least the perception of working conditions at Orlando International Airport?
I think culture change is one of the hardest areas that we ever undertake as supervisors and leaders. It is not something that happens overnight. And where you have instances such as this, where there's a forcing event, a strong emotional response, that is even more that it takes to come back from in terms of people's trust and confidence and comfort within the system. There are numerous processes across TSA for employees to reach out should they feel like they need to express concerns about something that they are directly seeing or where they need help. So some of these are obviously at the local airport themselves, where they might have a manager or supervisor they do trust, even if it's not their direct supervisor, as well as a number of resources across the agency. We have our anti-harassment program that they can contact, our investigations hotline. You always have our ombudsman if you don't know which direction you want to get help from, but you know that you want to talk to somebody about what you're seeing, as well as employee assistance. And finally, the last thing I really want to highlight is some efforts we have underway to really increase knowledge around suicide prevention and intervention, how we can help employees better see indicators, know options about how to have hard conversations if they see a colleague, employee, a supervisor who's having difficulty.
Patty, this is Danielle again. Can you tell me for the TSA officers that are listening right now, but they don't feel like TSA is still doing enough, you know, what would you tell them?
I tell them that we care and we hear them and we want to be there for them, that every day we have a number of efforts underway that we are looking to focus on how we can improve their working conditions generally, but also, for example, in Orlando, how do we improve the working environment? These include things like training around frameworks for feedback, how to have crucial conversations between supervisors and employees, and how to make sure that people know that they have options to raise concerns if they're not comfortable going to their direct supervisor.
Yeah, let's talk about that EAP program. Dave Pekoski sent out an email to everyone at TSA after Rob's suicide, encouraging them to look for warning signs and to access that program. But can you guarantee agents that if they do reach out for help that they'll not be fired because of it, or there'll not be some sort of adverse work action?
Yes, the EAP program is, in fact, confidential, that if people contact it, they are guaranteed some assistance, some counseling, some support through that process. Now, depending on the type of issue that the person raises, they will take different types of actions. So, for example, if someone called and was clearly in extreme difficulty, you'd want them to be able to make sure that they could immediately look to intervene on a local level to help that person. At the same time, we don't want it to be an issue where the person feels like they can't come forward for fear that it would be on their record. So first and foremost of concern, of interest through that EAP program is to take all of those concerns in place and do what's best for that employee.
You know, what are the broader implications for morale and retention? You know, how do you make sure you're hiring the best people for the job and keeping them on the job? And especially given how, you know, crucial a transportation security officer's role is when it comes to the flying public safety.
So thank you first for noticing the critical role that they play. Our frontline officers, day in and day out, have one of the hardest jobs in government. Every day they have to show up, sometimes very early, sometimes staying very, very late. They have to be in an environment where you have a lot of people traveling who don't always understand the rules, and they need to be quickly processed through. It's a job where we look for them to do a lot in a very tight period of time, and it requires a truly dedicated person to have the professionalism, the responsibility, who wants to have that as a true calling. So in that, you know, as we look at our future, we have embarked on several different pieces to set us up for the future. The first is a career progression, developing a career progression for our frontline officers. In this career progression, we focus first on what types of training they need to have over what period of time. The second one is helping look at how we assess their proficiency, how best to encourage the way they go forward, how best to direct and drive them into areas that are of particular interest in professional development. And then the third part relates to how we recognize the truly exceptional performers. So as part of this, we've recently gone through a process and announced a new way we are doing assessments as well. So these new assessments both changed how we do the base assessment to say whether or not you're completing the requirements you need to, but also look at how we recognize and reward those truly exceptional performers. This can be both through pay and non-monetary types of recognition, such as vigilance awards.
Well, Patty, I want to jump in and ask you one final question. You know, that's looking to the future, but kind of looking backwards at the past and here in Orlando, do you feel like TSA failed Robert Henry?
I would say that any time we have a situation where an employee feels this lost, that they feel that they have no other choice but to take their life, we've all failed as a society. I think this is something devastating on a day-to-day basis that hurts his family, that hurts his airport family, that hurts us as an agency. I can't express enough my sadness that this happened.
Well, we've been speaking with TSA Acting Deputy Administrator Patty Cogswell. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.